Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Liz Calandrino, who is a business consultant and instructor and with the Greater Capital Association of Realtors, and Michael Burgess, and he's the former commissioner of aging under Elliot Spitzer, and they're here to talk about aging in place and the village movement. So, Liz, you were telling me and Russell all about the seminars that you've been going to. Is Albany a aging city?
Well, we have a lot of people in Albany that, that are over 55. And, you know, by 2020, there'll be over 55 million people. It's like every 7 seconds, 78 million baby boomers, you know, turn 60. So that's like 10,000 people. So, you know, New York, like lots of, like the rest of the world, is aging.
So, Mike, you've been in the area of aging for a long time. Tell us the importance of what you and Liz are trying to accomplish.
Well, there's a national movement called the Village Movement, which is all about aging in the community and allowing people to remain living independently. But the idea is that, you know, society's changed. People don't have family members necessarily with them in close proximity anymore, and it's very important to maintain social connections to prevent isolation of older people and loneliness. So this movement is really about neighbors helping neighbors, and it's been sprouting up all over the country, as I said, and here in the Capital District there are several villages in formation which provide services and social activities. So Bethlehem Neighbors has been formed, and there's one in Shenandoah, and here in the city of Albany we're making the effort to get a village going.
In where I live, on South Swansea, I live in the high-rise apartment building. There's a number of older people, older retired people, but basically I've lived here for 10 years, and there's really not that great of a commitment for helping each other. There's not a lot of social interaction. So as far as this building is concerned, I don't see the concept that you're talking about taking hold here. What should somebody who lives more or less isolated, how do they get involved?
Well, that's the point that we're trying to make, is that when this village becomes an entity, people will be aware through the outreach that we do that there is a connection they can make. You know, uptown in Albany along New Scotland Avenue in Whitehall, there's something called a NORC, a naturally occurring retirement community. That's a state-funded project which is very successful up in that area, and we're trying to do similar things with the village, only it won't be a state-funded project. But again, it's like, you know, having people know that there's a place where activities are going to take place. Cynthia, you were at a movie that we ran through our age-friendly program here in Albany County, where people came to the Spectrum Theater in Albany to see a movie on aging, and it's kind of like that, you know, letting people know that there are these connections that they can make to work to get, help each other.
Liz, you were at that movie. What'd you think of it?
Well, it was kind of interesting. The aging in place movement, you know, understanding that if we're going to live where we are, we're going to have to figure out, can we live there? In other words, aging in place means really aging where you want to age. So people have to try and figure out, you know, can I live where I am, or should I move someplace that's easier to live? In other words, so if my bedroom's on the second floor, then what? You know, and I can't make the stairs. So those are the kind of things that we're thinking about. And going back to the movie, that was right after the class that I taught. So it was funny. We all went down there, and you were there. The Spectrum was packed with people. I mean, you know, yep. You would have thought we had a first-run movie there. So people are interested. The problem is people don't know what to do. And, you know, nobody really wants to go into a nursing home. That's for sure. So, you know, looking at how we can age where we are, and then as Mike's talking about, the village movement really puts into place the kind of services that we need. So they're not just going to happen. The villages have to, the towns have to really figure out, do we want to be part of this, or how are the villages arranged? You know, maybe it's 20 blocks, or maybe it's a whole city. I was in Stillwater last night with the mayor and a group of people, talking to them about the whole aging in place concept, and then explaining to them about the village movement. And they were really excited. I mean, the mayor, she said, well, I'm coming. I'm going to come to the next meeting so I can figure out, you know, how to help the people that live here. So those are the kind of things that have to happen, and they just don't happen. Like, there's nobody, you know, in your building, you're talking about isolation, and that's really one of the biggest issues for everybody in this world. But it's not just going to happen. There needs to be commitments from people who want to be part, who want to provide services. So that's what has to happen.
So, Mike, if there was a village movement in Albany, what would it look like?
Well, it would look like this. There would be services that we would not be doing, but we would connect people to existing organizations like Community Caregivers, which provides rides to the doctor for many people in the area by volunteers. We would be connecting with them. Also, they help with shopping. They help with reassurance phone calls. So there would be these kinds of services. A lot of people are asking for help in vetting contractors for home repair, because staying in your home, you have a lot of issues about repair, and even if you needed a ramp, let's say, if you had a wheelchair or a walker. So that part. Then the other part's going to be what we were just mentioning about social activities, you know, creating opportunities like coffee hours where some people would get together, you know, at the bagel shop or at Starbucks or something. Other things would be, you know, healthcare screenings. We would have workshops on healthcare and patient navigation, how to talk to the doctor. All of these types of things are important, and there are things that people have asked for, and we've started to do them in the town of Bethlehem and the village there. So this is what we're hoping for Albany, and the word is spreading, and we're talking to neighborhood associations and trying to get some of those folks to sponsor meetings in their area to educate people about the village.
How close are you to forming this in Albany?
Well, the proposal right now is for Community Caregivers, which is an organization that I just mentioned, doing a lot of these services, for that to become the sponsor of the village, to create a project of Community Caregivers called The Village. And they're actually performing village activities, but they don't have a social membership. So that's what this would do, was they would create a social membership as part of Community Caregivers, and they currently operate in parts of the city of Albany, and that would be spread further.
Okay. So, Liz, what's your involvement in this?
Well, it's funny. I teach the Aging in Place class for Greater Capital Association of Realtors. I've taught it in Rochester. I've been down to Staten Island. And the more I teach the class, the more I realize, you know, what am I going to do with my life? You know, we're all going to get old, even though we don't want to talk about it. We want to pretend it won't happen to us. And so
right.
The more I thought about that, and Mike, I don't even know how I ran into you. How did I even run into you? But Mike.
Deborah Tano.
Yes, Deborah Tano, the commissioner of Albany County Department of Aging. She had been in my class, and she was speaking about aging in general, and she connected me with Mike. And I thought, you know what? we really do need to do something. I mean, I live in historic Hudson Park. It's a pretty tight neighborhood, and we do a lot of the things that we're talking about for the village movement, but it's not, you know, it's kind of not set in stone, and, you know, somebody might cook for you, but it's somebody that you know, my next door neighbor, he always calls me and says, I'm cooking, what would, you know, do you want some? But those are the kind of things, and the whole thing about social isolation is the really big deal for us. You know, if you can't get out of your house by yourself or you want company, you know, I like Mike's talking about, you know, do you want to go play cards? Do you want to go to the movies? Would somebody go to the movies with me? So
book clubs.
Book clubs. So Mike came down and spoke at Hudson Park a couple of weeks ago with Debbie. And so that kind of spurred me on to start trying to figure out, you know, how could I be involved? And I went to a couple of meetings, and, you know, I think I can be very instrumental in a lot of these things because I know, I just know a ton of people, and people are interested. And that's the thing. We have to get them interested and keep them interested because, as Mike said, you know, you get a social, buy a social membership or however that would work. And so I remember at one of the meetings, Mike, somebody said that through this program, there was a woman who went to dialysis twice a week. And through these services, for 5 years, somebody took her to dialysis. Now, that's a really big deal, you know? And we don't have, as we age, it's very likely we don't have family members left. We don't have children. I mean, years and years ago, children, everybody grew up in one place and they stayed. It doesn't work that way anymore. People are very mobile, and, you know, you may not have anybody around. I have a friend in Athens, New York. She is an instructor. She's a painter. She's an author. She's 89. And she said to me the other day, she called me and said, Liz, I think I have to move to Ohio where my, like, it's like her third cousins live. And I said, why do you have to do that? She said, Liz, I've got nobody. I mean, I've got my friends here, but they're my age. So we need to get people, you know, we're looking at people 50 and over, not, you know, if you're 90, it's a little bit late for you to be figuring out if you're going to age in your house because you're probably going to, wherever you are, you're going to stay. You know what I mean?
So, Mike, what do you think?
Well, I was thinking about another thing. You know, a lot of people are doing a lot of things, as Liz said, on their own to help people, but we need to be spreading that word out. There's a group in Bethlehem that told me after we started the meetings in Del Mar that, you know, they said, you know, there's five of us women who get together, and we just talk about, we have a group called Conscious Aging, and we just talk about what it's like to be older, like Liz was saying. We don't have people around. We need to be supporting each other. We talk about our fears. We talk about our happinesses and things that are going on. And, you know, just that idea, just having that and having people think, well, maybe we could form some of those groups or a book club or taking people to a show. And I think all of those things help to reduce isolation. And, you know, there was a study recently that said that being lonely is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day in terms of the impact on your health. So I think that's why this is really so important. You have to think of this almost like a co-op or an assisted living in your home, you know? That's what we're really trying to do because there's not enough government money to have programs to run for everybody to have a senior center on their block or something.
You know, there's something else you made me think about, which is, you know, it's the whole multi-generational living. In other words, when you stay in your home, you have access to young people. I mean, nobody,
yes.
My father used to say, Liz, when you get old, don't have all old friends because all they're going to talk about is how much their hips hurt and what operation they had. You know, he was kind of right about that, and I'm included. The thing is that this, again, leaves us in our community. We're in our communities, and I mean, I have next door neighbors that I invite over for coffee, and they invite me over, and they're like 29, and it's so refreshing to have people like that in the neighborhood, you know, that actually want to talk with you. And I think that's the other thing about getting older. I think people wonder, would anybody else want to talk to me other than somebody old like myself? You know what I mean? But years ago, grandparents were revered. Everybody wanted to talk to grandpa or be with grandma. That was a big deal. So the whole multi-generational piece really appeals to me and a lot of the people that I know. You know, we talk about movies, but it keeps me on my toes. And, you know, I've had enough life experience that I can add to, you know, their body of knowledge also.
But, you know, a multi-generational approach is kind of like voluntary. Has there been any programs set up so people of all ages can get together and help each other? Has that been done, Mike?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of great programs. You know, I have a friend who was a senior who was a helper in the Ravenna School District, where she was there along with other grandparents helping the children. And there's programs that we have here in town where, I'll give you a great example, and this would be part of the village. You know, St. Rose, the students there with their professor got a grant from AARP to deliver food to some of the seniors in the St. Vincent's apartments in Albany who couldn't get out to the food pantry. So over the school year, the students got a little stipend to help deliver to 21 people there. Now, they didn't have students over the summer except three of them. So they asked us if some of the people meeting about the village in Albany would be willing to help during June and July and August. So we got two or three volunteers to help the three students, and we went up and delivered. So these are wonderful projects where the college students – we have other college students from Albany Med who are studying to be doctors who go out and do service, and they teach a little workshop we did on how to talk to your doctor. We need to be encouraging these kinds of intergenerational activities because, as Liz said, that's you want to keep people connected to younger people who are, you know, involved in the community. And it's great to see. I'm always so happy when I see a young person who wants to be involved in serving seniors, but also when they study gerontology. What a wonderful thing that is. In fact, last night there was a benefit for the SUNY Albany Internships in Aging program where students, you know, get an internship to work in the field.
You know, it's funny you say that because that when I taught at Columbia Green Community College, what I did was place students in, you know, various businesses, and one of them was a nursing home, and it was a field placement for them. And kids that went to nursing homes, you know, those were kids that, you know, they were so excited, and they felt so close to the people in there. And that was so long ago, but it's all started to kind of come back to me how important. And you know, one of the kids, I can still remember her saying, you know, We were talking about a book that we both had read. I mean, I didn't realize that we were both reading the same thing. So these are the things that, Mike, this is what's going to keep all of us connected to our communities, keep us young, and keep us vibrant. And it doesn't really matter how old you are. You know, there are a lot of young people that are really old, too. So this can just help all of us.
Right.
Well, Cynthia was actually working on a documentary I know you're working on about an older person, an activist here in Albany.
Right.
And, you know, some of these students are involved in helping older people write their memoirs, and it would be great if we could get a film class, you know, to help do some documentary work on some of the notable seniors in our area.
Oh,
that would be wonderful.
That would be super. I mean, it's interesting because I wanted to do with my next-door neighbor. That's what I wanted to do with her. I wanted to do a film with her. And unfortunately, she went into the nursing home. It was really too late for me to do that. But, you know, I asked my friend, the one who has to move to Ohio, I said, can we do a video? Oh, my gosh. She said, you know, if you'll do my hair, she said, we can do a video. So, I mean, these are the things that we're really thinking about, you know, how we look, you know, how we look, you know, how do we relate to people? And this is the part of all of this that will keep us all you know, living better and feeling better about ourselves.
Right. I'm a, you know, for at the beginning of the baby boomers. So, you know, the years keep creeping up on me. And what you're saying is important. And we have all this new technology. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have podcasts. And, you know, we do have an aging population, but I would like to see all of the new technologies used to help people who are, you know, approaching their golden years. Mike, do you think that's possible that we can work together on a number of issues to bring it out and to the public?
I think the technology, you know, we need a whole committee in our village to just look at the technology. And this is a great thing that's happening. There's a website I'm going to give you called Lotsa Helping Hands, L-O-T-S-A, helpinghands.org. And this is where people, let's say a friend of yours gets cancer and doesn't have any support around in the community, any family members. Well, people go on this website and they register and say, I want to help John Smith. And there's a list there of everything John Smith needs. He needs a ride to the doctor on Tuesday. He needs someone to make dinner on Wednesday. People go in and sign up and do that. That's one example of technology. Another is we have these robot pets now, where like Alexa, you know, the pet talks to you and provides company to you when you're living alone or in a nursing home. These are the things that I hope a village will be the vanguard of sharing this information and being the center of innovation in the community so that all the people who are aging will hear about this stuff.
Liz?
Yeah, and I'm thinking about what you said. In my class, one of the sections is about technology. And a friend of mine the other day was talking to me about her father, who's 97. He's in pretty good shape. And he still drives, so whatever. He drives, and you know, but she worries about them during the day, and she goes down there one day a week. Her other sister goes, and her daughter. I said to her, "Let's talk about technology. Why not put a camera? I mean, that's what one of the things that's also going to help us. I mean, we can put cameras in people's homes, and we can watch them, and we can talk to them, so they're not going to feel so isolated." And if something happens, you know, we can be there. We didn't have that technology maybe 20 years ago. Somebody has to be in the house all the time. But now, as you were saying, you know, as we look at Skype and the things that we have, we can communicate and we can kind of watch around the house. And not only in the house, but we can be watching outside the house, right? I mean, everybody's got Ring these days, so we can video what's going on. So technology is one of the things that's going to make it easier and possible for us to stay in our homes.
I'm a first wave baby boomer. And as the years went by, there were less and less of a population in the United States. And do you think that there's enough younger people to network with baby boomers and people who are experiencing difficulties in their old age? Do you think there's enough younger people to help older people today? What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think there are, but I think that the younger folks have to have a structure, as I said, through school, through service. You know, I volunteer at the food pantry at St. Vincent's. It's really amazing to me. I'm so gratified when I go there because I see these students from St. Rose and SUNY who volunteer their time. Maybe it's part of their social work class, but it doesn't matter. They have a calling to do it. And every week we have, you know, three or four or five students, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on their circumstances. But people have that desire, but we need to have a program and a structure and service credit and incentives for people to understand how they can help. But that's true of older people, too. You know, you need structure for volunteer programs for the seniors, like the RSVP program is a you know, has like 500 people volunteering in the Capital District, but that's a government program.
You know, that was starting, that program was starting when I started teaching college, the RSVP program. And it was really interesting because it was brand new. But like you said, some people, they want to do this. You want to be at the food pantry. There are lots of young, there are lots of young people out there who feel called to service or care, you know, care about people. My next door neighbor, she's so cute. She said to me, I know you're going away in a couple of weeks. And she said, I'll come feed your cat. I know how much you care. I mean, I'll do it for you. I know you have other people do it, but I'd like to, I like your cat. I'd like to come over and do that for you. So there are just people out there that want to be helpful and want to be part of other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the services that are out there now, Michael, if people want to know more about them, what website or what could they do to find out more?
Well, there's a couple websites or organizations. We didn't mention the Albany Guardian Society yet, but they're the organization that's spearheading and providing technical assistance to all of the villages in the Capital District. And they actually have now the Village Technical Assistance Center that they got a grant from the State Office for the Aging. So people can Google the Albany Guardian Society. They can go to communitycaregivers.org and read about what we're doing with the villages here in Albany and Bethlehem. Or you can go to vtvnetwork.org and you can see all the villages all over the country. You can click on each state and it'll show you where the villages are. In New York, there's a lot of them. There's some in Ithaca, downstate, Westchester. So people can read more about the concept, which started in Beacon Hill in Boston and has spread across the country. In 15 years, there's 200 or more villages.
You know, this is, I think we only scratched the surface of this issue. I would like to continue this dialogue. And I'm sure, Mike, you have a lot more to say. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do this for a living, so, you know, I have to do the sales pitch.
That's fine. Liz, I'm sure you think there's a lot more to cover, right?
Yeah, every time I teach my class, you know, I actually sent out an email to the last four classes that I sent, and I told them about an update on the village movement and where they meet locally. And I got five people, I don't know, I think there were 250, but out of five people that said, I'm so glad you sent that to me because I really want to go. I want to try to get something together in my, you know, in my area. So the more we talk about it and the more we tell people about it, I mean, that the mayor is still, I couldn't believe she was so interested. She said, how come I don't know anything about this? I said, because it's not, it's only a couple years old. This is not something that's been around in for 20 years or so. And she says, well, I want to go to the next meeting because I need to do something in my town here. I don't have very many services. And so this would be terrific. And there were like, I think there were like 30 people there last night. Some of them older, but not old. And they were just delighted that there was a way that they could build something in their town that would help them connect better to each other. So, yeah, we just need to keep at it.
So, Mike, if somebody wants to contact your organization, how could they do so?
Well, they can reach me at the office there, 518-456-2898, or email me at michael@communitycaregivers.org.
Liz, how should people contact you?
Well, if there are people, see, I teach the three-hour class in Aging in Place. And if people want to take that class, they can actually take it through the Greater Capital Association of Realtors. They would have to pay, I think it's $25 to take the class. If you're a realtor, it's free. But they just have to go online. And I can give you this, Cynthia, so when you send this out, I can give you, you know, what Michael said and, you know, the places they can go, and we can give them the website. So
okay.
You can have it there.
Okay. And I would like to continue this conversation at a later date when your organizations evolve. So you have been listening to Michael Burgess and Lizbeth Calandrino, and they've been talking about aging. They've been talking about the village concept, the village movement. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Liz. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
Okay, thank you. Yes. It was good.
My pleasure. My pleasure.